You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, March 21st, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether you're listening on the radio or on the app or by podcast or watching us on social media, we appreciate you starting your day and wrapping up your week right here. I've got a question for you. What's a radio host supposed to do when he forgets to write the question of the day to talk to people? Because we're getting near the end of the week, and I've already noticed a couple of things have started to slip through the cracks over here, including my question of the day. So he says, thinking quickly on his feet, have you signed up yet for our week? That's it. Greg Bach just sends me a note going, improv, baby. You know what? That's exactly what improv. Hey, Greg, good morning. What's at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
There's no Laughing Tap. What's that? I don't know what you're talking about. This is a lottery ticket.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because that sets me up for a nice little segue.
Yes.
Hari Kondabolu is our guest this weekend. He's actually just did a show last night. He's got 5 shows, 4 left, 2 tonight, 2 tomorrow. Get your tickets now, because Saturday early is already sold out. So we have Friday early, which probably is going to sell out this afternoon. Then late shows, 10 p.m. are available. LaughingTap.com for all the information. $22 at the door, $22 online, $25 at the door. And here's 2 other things, Pat. One, Hari Kondabolu is going to be my guest on Matt and Air on Air. I'm filling in for Jane for today and Monday at 11 o'clock. Nice. He will be our guest, and we'll be talking about comedy life, being a dad in comedy, things like that. And and I am also hosting this weekend, so you get to see me perform as well.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And now so many of the show, like the shows are selling out, the tickets are, we got such short notice to be able to come see you.
It's fine.
You'll do it again sometime, right?
We'll see.
Oh, come on. Don't make us beg.
No worries, man. Hari is the star of the show. It's a great weekend. He's working on his new hour, so there's a lot of great material in there. And come on out. I will just say that. Say that you heard me on the radio, and I'll give you a hearty high five.
There, if you're in the area, stop on in there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what has thrown me off this morning that I actually didn't have a couple of things ready, and the only thing I can blame is this white shirt that I'm
You know
wearing,
what? I was going to say this is it's a change of wardrobe.
It really is. I get teased so much for the plaids, the patterns, whatever it is.
Your tartan.
And I always say the same thing. I'm like, I had to wear solid color dress shirts for decades.
Yeah.
As a TV anchor and in the legislature. And I was like, I really enjoy being at this age now where I just wear these nice, comfortable, casual shirts. And going through the closet yesterday, I saw a couple of shirts were in the back. These nice linen shirts or whatever they are, including this nice white one. And there's another one, solid red. And I know that when I wear these solid colors, the folks watching on social media can right away tell, like, ooh, look how red his face is against that yellow wall with that white shirt. And so even though I'm on the radio, still thinking TV,
yeah,
and going, okay, this does, but today was just like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead. And ever since that time, I was sitting there halfway through breakfast, and I was like, I forgot to make coffee.
Oh, so coffee.
Stop halfway through breakfast, go get the coffee, he says with his Friday Roy Kent coffee mug, where he can take a sip here.
Whistle! Whistle!
Oh, thank you, sir.
No problem.
Yeah, so my routine is just a little bit off today. Then I had this original routine planned for this weekend where, again,
empty space behind me, going to be beautiful bookshelves.
Mm-hmm.
All the IKEA boxes still over here at my feet.
Yeah.
That was going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
But my son-in-law's hockey team made it to the Final Four of their conference tournament. So we're going to go see those games later today and tomorrow, hopefully, if they win tonight. So everything is just, oh, darn you, Dan Schaefer, for taking this word. We're all discombobulated.
Oh, I was going to say it was in flux.
No, we're definitely discombobulated is where we are here. But, you know, it's okay. It's also that weird time where it's like, on any given hour, is it winter or is it spring?
Oh my God.
Can't tell. I wanted the winter coat yesterday because the wind was still high enough. But even with the wind, it's like, oh, this winter coat is still a little too much.
Yeah.
You know, but a light jacket wouldn't have been enough, you know? So we're just starting off with full-blown whining here.
Full bowl of whining.
No, full-blown. Just full-blown whining.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, full bowl of whining.
I was thinking full bowl.
I was halfway through that bowl of whining when I realized I hadn't made the coffee yet.
I would like some whining. Would you like a cup or a bowl? Oh, please, a bowl. It's been a day.
Oh, yes, I'll take a 50-gallon drum, please. let's give you some good news here. Starting Monday, Civic Media's next statewide text-to-win contest. It is right around the corner. It'll start during the 7 a.m. hour on Monday. So you will be the first listening to Up North News Radio for a chance to listen for a keyword that you will text in using the Civic Media app for your chance to be an hourly winner of a nice prize or enter to win one of the grand prizes. You will have four chances to enter over the next 2 weeks, starting Monday during the 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours. This is a statewide text-to-win contest. There are daily chances to win a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. These are great tickets. These would be great if you won just those. But hey, $100 cash. You could win that. Each entry puts you into our grand prize drawing of a brand new queen-size mattress from Verlo Mattress. So download that Civic Media app and start listening in the 7 a.m. hour on Monday for your chance to text in the hourly keyword and be entered to win. This is the time of day where I remind you again that we'd love to have you subscribing to our daily newsletter. Those of you who are subscribing, you're probably following along already and have what Christina Laurie has put together opened up in front of you. The rest of you can go to our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and be a part of the fun. In today's newsletter, you're going to notice people with mismatched socks today, and it's in honor of World Down Syndrome Day, part of the mismatched chromosomes. J.J. Watt turns 33 over the weekend, so we tip our hat to the Wisconsin native. And then we get into this one, Mr. Bach, the whole notion of automatic tipping. And in Christina's case, there's a story about a restaurant where they just automatically add 20%. They say, don't tip. Here's a 20% surcharge. And then it's shared equally with the staff. My own standpoint is there's some restaurants in Eau Claire that have added an 18%. What do they call it? Living wage adjustment or something for the servers. And I happily sign that. I'm good with that. 20 strikes me as a little high, and I know there's not a big difference there, but you know, you're selling it as something more than 15%. Would it be great if we didn't have tipping at all and all servers just got a decent wage? Yeah, but it's a tough cultural norm, I guess, to overcome that I don't think you're ever going to get rid of tipping. So maybe you find a way to adjust it so that people aren't just reliant on tips as far as whether they're going to be able to pay the rent or not.
What? Okay, so I worked in customer service for a very long time and very much in the tipping culture, and I've always been very, very appreciative of the tips I've gotten. I will say when you force me to pay a tip, I don't appreciate that because I feel like the tip should be based on the service you get. So if I don't get good service and you're making me pay 20%, and then that bothers me a little bit. I'm not against tipping. I don't ever stiff people. But the other thing, too, is when you call it a quality of life surcharge, what that says to me is that you won't pay your people enough to live, and you're making us do it for you. You're making us save your pockets.
here's the comeback for that, which is not, again, it's debatable what's right or what's not.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play the part of the restaurant owner who adds the 18%.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm adding that because you're saying, well, I should just pay them more, but that also means it's going to eat into my profit margin, whereas the guy across the street who's going to pay his server $2 an hour and hope you get good tips, you know, gets off scot-free. So I'd rather be upfront and honest with my customers and say, here's what you and I are doing together to make sure that we have good servers. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That would just be the comeback to it.
I would come back with it. We're not doing it together. It's still the onus is still on me. I'm the one who's still, mm-hmm. I'm the one paying for the meal. I'm the one paying for their quality of life surcharge. Mm-hmm. This is you as the owner are putting the responsibility on me. If we're doing this together, then maybe split it. Then say, hey, whatever that thing is. But like at the end of the day, you get into business. It's a competition. If you can't keep up with the guy across the street, you're going to go out of business, and you can't force me to help pay your people more because you're afraid the guy across the street is going to outdo you. So that's, I don't have a problem with tipping. I'm not cheap. In fact, I over tip generally because I feel like customer service is a tough gig, especially in today's world. Oofters. Yeah. But it's the owners who come at us and tell the customers, well, we're going to give that to you. You're going to handle that for us and you're going to do that. And it's like, well, then maybe I won't come back. Because that then makes the experience a lot more expensive too, depending on where you're going.
Oh, it absolutely can. But I mean, we just had this talk the other day about, you know, portion sizes so mm-hmm. that you can charge bigger prices. It just feels like everything is out of whack. You're charging me too much because you're giving me too much, but you may not be giving your servers enough, and you're asking me to make up the difference for an already expensive bill mm-hmm. for a meal that's going to feed me for three meals.
Yeah.
So the whole thing just seems off. I would definitely grant you that. It does come back to why we often have guests on from Main Street Alliance, mm-hmm. because there are business owners who, again, want to get away with paying the least amount possible. They will be as cheap on their employees as humanly possible. Others actually want their servers to have health care. Mm-hmm. So it either comes out of their pocket or they do what Main Street Alliance does, and they try to get things like expanding Medicaid coverage for everybody, or, you know, raising the minimum wage, or things like that. Have everybody play on the same level playing field.
Agreed. Work together.
That. Yeah, let's work together and be good to our workers and be good to our customers. It's not just about the shareholders. We will pause right here, come back, talk a little bit about, Derek Van Orden, he's got a crush on me twice in the past couple of days. He has singled me out for attention. I feel special. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Much is that doggy in the window, the one with the waggly tail.
The things I do now, for the show.
I've just been talking about, you know, falling behind, and there's a couple of things I didn't get done in time. I'm also being reminded that sometimes you can work too far ahead. Because I hear this and I'm just right. Wait a minute, what is this doing here? And I scroll up and realize I actually did the history lesson ahead a couple of days and made note to say that on this day in 1953, this was the number one song in the country by Patti Page. And I didn't want to put it in the formal history lesson. So we just carried it over to some bumper music at 6:22 in the morning. So there you go.
I just have a quick question for those who were alive back in the day of 1953. How did it feel to accept this as a real form of entertainment?
I mean, come on. It was the era of Pat Boone and all kinds of other, you know, vanilla white toast singers out there. So eventually, you know, Chuck Berry came along and a few other folks were welcomed into the American mainstream.
And Pat Boone covered those songs and ruined them too.
It ruined them and got higher on the charts at the time.
Yep.
Which again says a lot about America. back in the day.
Yeah.
I did not share Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state. She'll be here just after the 7 o'clock news, but here's what she's got to say for today. A front quickly marches through the state today, followed by a day of calm before the next storm hits the state on Sunday. That's going to pack a wintry mix of rain for some and snow for others. So here's the state forecast for today. Partly to mostly cloudy, breezy, but warmer. Some spotty light rain and snow showers move quickly across the state today. Highs will be in the low 40s up north, the low 50s in the south. A west wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. For tonight, a few flurries, partly cloudy and cool. Upper teens in the north for lows tonight. Mid-20s in the south and a northwest wind at 10 to 20. Then, like she said, quiet on Saturday. Storm coming in on Sunday. She'll have much more to say about that. Oh, in about 45 minutes or so from right now. We got through the entire start of the show without talking about March Madness and the brackets and everything else. I know I peeked in occasionally at the Badger game against Montana and thought this is a little too close. And it was starting to bring up memories of last year's first round loss to James Madison. Badgers getting bounced in the yeah. first round of the tournament. Well, in the end, the Badgers pulled away and they did beat Montana 85-66. So they next will play BYU. That will be Saturday. And it's going to be an evening game, 6:45 p.m. It'll be on CBS, and the radio version of the match will be on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Richland Center. The tip-off is at 6:45, so I'm assuming radio coverage begins at 5:45, somewhere in there. But again, not on the app. You got to be listening mm-hmm. to the Civic Media stations in those aforementioned cities. Marquette, meanwhile, a 7 seed, plays against 10 seed New Mexico at 6:25 this evening. That game will be on TBS. I tell you that now because, I mean, it feels like the NCAA games are on like 14 different TV channels. And everybody's kind of looking around like, where's this game? Where do I find this one or that one? So, I don't know. They give you little clips here and there. Like, I missed this entirely. At 12-5 yesterday, McNeese defeated Clemson by 2 points. So, I'm sure that was an exciting game, but I maybe was watching one of the other 13 that was going on at the time. Possibly.
That's what I think, Pat, that right there is why mm-hmm. college sports escapes me. There's mm-hmm. so much happening.
Oh, yeah.
So especially much happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose I better fess up. Derek Van Orden's got a thing for the show, Greg.
Ooh.
Maybe it's you. Maybe he's tuning in for the funny stuff.
No,
I don't know. Yeah, he maybe likes a good laugh because for me, all I'm saying is, you know, here's a guy getting his 30 pieces of silver, as I put it yesterday,
yeah.
for Elon Musk making the maximum allowable donation to him and to other members of Congress who specifically called for the impeachment of federal judges who dared insist that Donald Trump follow the law. So, Greg, imagine my surprise when just, what, a couple of days after he called me a clown
yeah.
online?
Yeah.
That he took issue with what I said yesterday on the radio, where I said in so many words that Van Orden was one of the first to call for the impeachment of a judge. Well, that was my fault. I knew he was the first. I don't know why I couched the language live on air. But, of course, he caught it and commented. I think it was on the Civic Media Instagram or Facebook.
I think it was Facebook.
So there's Derek Van Orden with a freeze frame of me, and he says, I was not one of the first. I was the first. Get your facts straight, you goofball. Which would have been, that would have been enough of a burn right there.
Weird.
But then he goes on. He frets for a moment. He's like, oh, wait, no, I've got another insult. And he writes, a congressman takes the time to write this at me. I don't recall seeing your royal tubbiness in Afghanistan, Iraq, Bosnia, or the Horn of Africa when I was defending your right to be a jackass. Congressman, you're right. I wasn't there. I checked with Greg. He has not been in Afghanistan, Iraq.
Let me check
Bosnia.
My...
Nope. Looking at it. Yep.
No, I was not there.
Nothing there. Nothing there. Congressman, that was all you. You were there. and I thank you for your service, and I am grateful for it. It's what you've done since your time in the service that has really put that jackass label elsewhere. And in our on our social media sites, especially Facebook, we've made a little slideshow about his response and his willingness to betray the Constitution by undermining federal judges. And then the last slide is just a sample of his tweets from the past couple of days, just loaded with insults, you know, including words I'd rather not say on the radio, pointed at various figures who have, again, the audacity to want to stand up for their constituents rather than kiss the backside of an authoritarian president. So, Congressman, I appreciate your listening. Congressman, if you want to watch these video clips and if you want to keep commenting on them and if you want to bring more attention to this fine radio program, I am very grateful, just as I am grateful for your service while you were in the military. It's your alleged service while you're in Congress that has led to these pointed comments where, again, I'll say what I said yesterday. Show me any daylight between you and President Trump in terms of his moves toward authoritarianism, and I will give you the benefit of the doubt. But for the moment, what you're doing is still a betrayal of the Constitution that you swore to uphold. And we'll talk about that with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel in our next hour. We'll have our Courier Newsroom Roundtable coming up next. You're up north.
We'll have a good home. How much is that?
Hey, welcome back on this Friday. It's time for our little Courier Newsroom Roundtable. Courier is the parent company of Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we're always pleased to partner with them for this fine radio show, 2 hours every weekday morning. But from Courier Newsroom is a national correspondent, Kia Vakil, out in California. Kia, hello, how are you?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
Very good, thanks. And welcome in Matt Henney from Courier, Texas as well. Matt, I think you told me before, are you in Austin?
I am in Austin, yes.
You are in Austin, okay.
Minutes away from the state capital.
That's right. Nice to see you. Thanks so much for being here. There are more than a couple of headlines out of Texas we can talk about because the news is always big there. But before we get to the news, because of course we have a habit on the show of threatening people with sports talk, and then we never really quite talk about sports. So, Kia, you especially, you have filled out brackets. You have a unique way, a very, I would say, non-sports way of filling them out.
I decided to take the, you know, relatively hacky Moneyball approach and look at historical seed trends of advancing based on what seed you are and to what stage you get to and what percentage of them. And so I put together a bracket based on that. You know, I still have Duke winning in the national championship game, so it's not as if I like really did anything
chalk.
Crazy.
Yep. Okay.
Not quite chalk, but it's close to chalk. And yeah, I don't know. I would like to finally win a group. So that was my approach.
Okay. All right. And in your case, Matt, you said you didn't do brackets, but according to the headline in Courier, Texas, there are 9 Texas teams participating in March Madness. So it's not like you can escape it where you are.
No, so I don't have a bracket. There's probably 8 now because I think University of Texas, the men's team, lost their opening game against Xavier. But I don't have a bracket. I will, though, just take a safe pick and go with University of Houston on the men's side to go deep into the tournament. I mean, that's pretty lame, but it's also pretty safe.
There you go. We all do it. Everybody has their own way of throwing brackets in. You never know what you might win in the office pool. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again as well. Part of the reason we try to start some of these segments a little bit lighthearted is because we actually do cover the news, and the news has been a little dark lately. And Matt, I wanted to bring you on board to talk from a Texas standpoint in some of the first arrests made since the Dobbs decision, including a midwife. Can you tell us a bit about what has happened there in Texas and where things stand currently?
Yeah, if you need to start with dark news, Texas. Yeah. Texas right now, we're halfway through the legislative session, and it's a good place to turn for that. But in terms of the arrest, yeah, 3 people have been arrested in connection with the Texas Attorney General's office, an investigation into what they allege are abortions that run afoul to the state's draconian abortion ban. So these 3 Houston area people One of them is a midwife that has been accused of performing a couple of illegal abortions under state law in the Houston area. Apparently, there's not a lot of details that have come out. The arrests were just announced on Monday, the 17th. But apparently, the AG's office got tipped off by someone, started an investigation with Harris County Sheriff's deputies, and went from there and culminated in the arrests on Monday.
Do we know if these were abortions as most folks used to know them in a clinic setting versus facilitating a medication abortion?
The latest details I saw today about the investigation is that at least one of them was facilitated by medication. But the arrest documents apparently went into great deal about some of the other equipment they found in one of these clinics.
All right. Well, obviously it's something that we find extremely troubling and we'll follow. But I also did see that your governor there, Greg Abbott, apparently sought to clarify the law that it isn't, how did you put it? It isn't draconian. It's misunderstood.
There is a bill that, since the law went into effect a couple of years ago, I mean, there are very few exceptions, all dealing with the saving the life of a pregnant patient. And there's been a lot of confusion from doctors and healthcare providers around the law and when they can step in, which has resulted in doctors not taking action and women dying because of the ban. So the author of the ban, who just a few months ago said the problem wasn't with the ban, it was with the media and reproductive rights groups, said there wasn't any clarification needed. Fast forward to March, and he filed a bill that clarifies when medical providers can step in to save the life of the mother and not face the fines and steep prison sentences that they would otherwise face. And the governor is on board with it, and so is the lieutenant governor, so it is likely to move through the session and get passed.
An interesting reversal, given that Amanda Zurowski was speaking again in Wisconsin recently about her experience nearly dying from an abortion in Texas. Kiev, I know that you cover national news from the West Coast, but even all those many miles away from D.C., it seems almost palpable that everybody in Washington, D.C. is like, whew, glad we got that off our shoulders. Now all the states can deal with all these issues because they've got, you know, 99 other fish to fry. But on the other hand, I suppose it won't be that much longer till they take up a national abortion ban.
No, certainly not. And just to clarify, Amanda Zurowski almost died because they wouldn't let her have an abortion. So,
correct. I'm sorry. Yes.
Which is the thing that's going to happen in a lot of these states. Idaho, you know, Trump wants to let them deny emergency abortion care when women's lives are on the line. And yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think they're going to, I don't know that Trump, they don't have the votes for a national abortion ban, but what they can do is revoke approval for mifepristone, remove, you know, all sorts of funding for women's health care, and sort of chip away at it piece by piece. And so that, you know, come 2029, it might be genuinely very difficult to get an abortion, even if you're in California, even if you're in New York, even if you're in Wisconsin, regardless of what states do. You know, at the end of the day, the federal government is the top dog. And so if they want to chip away at these, they have friendly judges in a lot of these, you know, courts. And so it's totally possible that we're going to enter a period of time where even in blue states, that medication abortion becomes very difficult to get.
Let's turn our attention to education, and we'll get to the voucher debate in Texas in just a second here. But obviously you did have the president, again, attempting to follow through with something that he can't do, but he can almost do, and that is abolish a cabinet-level department, the Department of Education. What's the current standing on that, Kia? Is it how much of this is illusion, and how much of it is, well, I can't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking, this will air Friday morning. Trump on Thursday signed an executive order to direct the Department of Education essentially to abolish itself effectively. He cannot do that under, you know, only Congress can eliminate a federal agency. You know, what he can do is what they are doing. They're purging staff. They are essentially trying to gut the agency from within, similar to, you know, how they could reduce or limit reproductive rights. They could really affect what work the Department of Education does. And that's troubling for a number of factors, for a number of reasons. One, the Department of Education is a, you know, enforces regulations like Title IX. It provides funding to the states for things like Head Start and, you know, programs for, you know, special education. And, you know, it also is the agency that, you know, administers and regulates student loans. And so if you eliminate an agency, what happens to those loans? We have tens of millions of people with student loan debt. And does that just go to private loan? Does that just go completely private? We know what happens when those sorts of things happen. We know private private loans are much, much more predatory in some cases. And, you know, they're targeting public service loan forgiveness. And it's just, it's bad all the way around.
And that's just getting rid of the department, which is part of an ongoing right-wing push to privatize education, let religious schools and for-profit schools take things over. We have talked a lot about the school voucher situation here in Wisconsin, which is closing in on costing taxpayers $1 billion a year. Again, good old Texas, got to be bigger. You're already pushing your billion-dollar mark for vouchers, aren't you?
They are starting out with $1 billion here, and some new details of the proposals for the voucher plan have come out this week, that there are mechanisms in both the Senate and the state House versions to allow folks who hold the purse strings to state money to transfer money from other agencies once the voucher plan is in place, which is the first time I've seen reporting about that. So the state ledge may appropriate $1 billion, and if they run out of that money when the legislature's not in session, because it meets every other year here, they're putting in a mechanism for budget folks to be able to put more money into the voucher plan here, which is interesting for a lot of reasons, but one of which is the governor, as recently as a couple days ago, continued to say and talk down budget predictions that the voucher plan is going to explode a massive hole in the budget and say, well, it's not going to get any bigger than lawmakers allow it to. But yet they have this backdoor mechanism now that seems to be able to funnel money to it if they tap out the $1 billion they're looking to set aside for it.
So what I'm not hearing is what I know I've heard from other states, where even Republicans are saying, hey, I'm a voucher school proponent, but even this is too much for state taxpayers to shoulder. In Wisconsin, it's still, you know, full steam ahead with what voucher advocates are saying. That's the impression I'm certainly getting from Texas, that there's no Republican out there who's explicitly saying, hey, we might want to consider putting the brakes on this a little bit.
Yeah, you know, 2 years ago, Republicans, rural Republicans, a lot of them in Texas, helped kill the measure in the House, and then they got primaried by Republicans, by the governor, and 10, 12 of them were removed and lost their races. So there's less dissent on the Republican side, but, you know, we'll see. It's the measure in the House just got a 22-hour committee hearing. They're planning to pass it out of the House sometime in the next week or two, but it's going to get amended, and we'll see what happens when it hits the House floor.
Let's go from there, again, trying to attain things, whether they're financially viable or not, to trying to attain things, whether they're constitutional or not. And that would be, Kia, the coverage back to D.C. of President Trump trying to do things, even if judges try to stop him from doing it. We talked yesterday on the program about Derek Van Orden being one of the Republican members of Congress that Elon Musk maxed out to in terms of donations, as he did for any member of Congress who called for the impeachment of federal judges who tried to stand in Donald Trump's way of doing anything that he wants. So with Elon Musk still keeping the checkbook open, I imagine we're not going to be done anytime soon, despite the rebuke from the Chief Justice of the United States, with Donald Trump calling for judicial impeachments.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly quite troubling and awful that he is, they're targeting judges who happen to rule against him. And I'll note that it's not just Democratic appointed judges. He's had Republican appointed judges rule against him. Judges from all ideologies, because essentially what they're trying to say is that this is, you know, he can do what he wants and no one can stop him. And that laws are essentially irrelevant if you're the president. And, you know, what's concerning is the Supreme Court kind of said that last year, is that he has immunity from things taken under his official actions as president. And, you know, targeting judges, will they actually be impeached? That's unlikely, given the threshold you need to reach to impeach in votes wise in Congress. But, you know, judges are worried about getting death threats. We have seen Trump supporters, you know, the most extreme ones. We saw what happened on January 6th. We've seen them attack and threaten lawmakers, lawmakers' families. And so, you know, it is, I would be afraid if I was a judge right now. I don't feel particularly, I'm not unconcerned as a journalist. We've seen them target media outlets they don't like, law firms they don't like. And there is no, there's no recognition that this isn't like a monarchy or a dictatorship.
And that, boys and girls, is why we start off light in segments like this, and why we're going lighter right after this break with today's history lesson. But Matt Henney, Kia Vakil, again, thanks for keeping us updated. We appreciate it so much. Have a good weekend, both of you.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Happy 75th birthday to Roger Hodgson, founding member of Supertramp. Roger composed and sang the majority of the band's many hits, including the logical song here, as well as Dreamer, Give a Little Bit, Take the Long Way Home, It's Raining Again, Breakfast in America, and more. So happy birthday, Roger Hodgson, 75 today. Happy birthday to actor Matthew Broderick. Yes, boys and girls, Ferris Bueller is 63 years old today. I like watching Greg's face just
come like, on, Pat.
Come on. What are you doing to me here? That's I don't the math works. The math says Ferris Bueller is 63 years old today.
Okay.
So, on that happy note, happy birthday to Russell Tompkins Jr. from the Stylistics. He's 74 today.
God, I love this group.
From 1971 to 1974, the Stylistics had 12 consecutive top 10 hits on the R&B chart, five of them top 10 pop hits, including You Make Me Feel Brand New, Betcha By Golly Wow, Break Up to Make Up, and more. Russell Tompkins Jr., 74 years old today. Let's see. Born, 76 years ago today, the late, great Eddie Money. Baby, hold on to me. Eddie Money was born Joseph Mahoney in Brooklyn. He passed away in 2019. His dad was a police officer, and young Joseph Mahoney also wanted to be a cop. But he refused to cut his hair.
And so, yeah.
And ironically, the first band he was in, the band didn't want him because he was the son of a cop. So they thought he would get them into trouble. So eventually he changed his name to Eddie Money and went on to have a much better singing career after.
What's your name, sir? My name is Edward Sir Not a Cop. That is my name.
Right. Let's see. This is the anniversary of the birth of former Wisconsin Governor Patrick Lucy. Born this day in 1918, passed away in 2014. And if you've ever had M&M's or a Mars bar or any of the lovely candies from M&M Mars, you should note that this is the anniversary of the birth of Forrest Mars Sr., who created M&M's and Mars bars.
Interesting.
Born this day in 1904, passed away in 1999, which means what? He lived to be 94, 95 years old. So candy, boys and girls, is good for you.
Do you like your own candy, sir? I never touch the stuff. It's disgusting.
Wouldn't that be something? Yes. On this day in 1994, Bruce Springsteen won the Academy Award, the Oscar for Best Song for Streets of Philadelphia from the Tom Hanks movie.
Just as black and whispering as the rain on the streets of Philadelphia.
I recall that this movie was bold for its time.
Yes.
Because obviously, you know, the LGBTQ community was still very much shunned, not in the mainstream. And I'm going to talk about that in the next hour, where the T in LGBTQ, the trans community, has been the subject of just relentless bullying by politicians, including four bills that passed out of the Wisconsin Assembly yesterday. So we'll talk a bit about that. On this day in 1964, the Beatles landed their second number one hit in the U.S. with She Loves You. So we'll play that a little bit later on. On this day in 1987, as far as I can tell, the one and only hit from Club Nouveau, a poppy little cover of the old Bill Withers song. I would have loved for them to give this treatment to other songs, too. It was very catchy back in the day.
Club Nouveau with me. Streets of Philadelphia.
Okay, maybe only to a point, okay? But they did 15 years after Bill Withers had Lean on Me. They hit the charts with that in 1987. Happy birthday. We always talk about the late great, you know, the anniversary of births from entities that have passed away. Twitter's original birthday was this day in 2006. I remember Twitter. Wasn't Twitter nice back at a time?
Yeah, it was a fun place. I mean, I feel like I got there after the innocent fun was had, but way before it became what it is today. And for the record, if you listen to Matt and Air on Air, in our house, it's still called Twitter. We do not call it.
It is still called Twitter. Yeah. Yes.
There
was, when it first started, I was like, I don't know if this is going to catch. You know, there weren't that many, you know, users on it, you know, and everything. Eventually, enough news organizations got on there that it basically became, you know, a news ticker.
Yeah.
Depending on how you'd set up your feed, it was like the old AP teletype, just cranking out news.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donald Trump and Elon Musk came along and, you know, showed us first with Twitter and then with so many other things, including a country, that you can ruin pretty much anything if you're rich enough.
Yeah.
There is way too much stuff on the National Day calendar, and I've only got 60 seconds. So I'm just going to rattle through all of these. Okay. React if you want. But, guys, you got to spread these things out. There's too many of you who said, nope, I want my day to be March 21st.
All right.
So here we go.
Yeah.
This is International Day of Forests.
Yes.
It's National Common Courtesy Day.
Of course.
It's World Poetry Day.
Mm.
It's Credit Card Reduction Day.
Yes.
It's Education Freedom Day.
Absolutely.
It is International Color Day.
Oh.
It is International Race Relations Day. It is, let's see, there's another one here. National California Strawberry Day.
Okay.
National Countdown Day.
3, 2, 1.
National Crunchy Taco Day.
Okay.
National Day of Action on Syringe Exchange. National Flower Day. National Fragrance Day. National French Bread Day. National Healthy Fats Day, National Preschool Teachers Appreciation Day, National Single Parent Day, National Renewable Energy Day, National Teenagers Day, and Rosie the Riveter Day. Enjoy. This day is all about you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.